is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Right now, I have not talked to one person who believes Rob Gronkowski will retire. The expectation is he's back in a Patriots uniform in 2018.
All right, folks, 617-779-0985. Phone lines open. Your thoughts on that report, Maz?
I don't. I'm not putting 100% stock in it, I'll tell you that. Do I think that Rappaport talked to someone? Yeah. But the last time I heard from Gronk, he said he was considering retirement, and we haven't really heard Gronk say no to that yet, or shoot it down yet, or say that, no, I'm back, I'm definitely back. And until I hear that, I'm not going to buy in. To me, the word that gets me in this is expected.
Yeah. Expectation is.
The expectation is that, so the expectation for who?
The Patriots.
Of course. Yes, of course. Like, it's not Gronk's expectation. Gronk would say yes or no. So it's coming from the team side, which suggests to me that they are, you know, all they're saying is, well, we haven't heard that he's retiring, so we're expecting him back. That's it.
And for
that's where it is.
You know, no disrespect to Ian Rappaport, unless it's from someone like Adam Schefter or Tom Curran, someone who's really close with the team. I'm taking this with a grain of salt.
Rappaport is the team source. Like, I don't need it from the team side. For Maz's point, I need it from Gronkowski's side. You know who I'd pay attention to is Mike Florio. Mike Florio has long been a really close media friend of Drew Rosenhaus. In fact, some people think that Rosenhaus was an early investor in
Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, when it used to be NFL Talk or whatever it was. Like, they go way back. So if Florio's got something on Gronk, I'd pay attention to Florio. Schefter, I don't know. Is he close to the player? I don't know. Rappaport, to me, feels like he's, you know, a management team. He works for the freaking league, for God's sakes. So I feel like that's where he gets the balance of his stuff. So I think that it's accurate to say the team expects Gronkowski to come back. I think I take that from his report. What does that mean? You know, the team expects a lot of things. It doesn't want to get what they expect. And is Rob Gronkowski exactly played by the team's rules here in the last couple of years?
No. And to me, again, it's that word, expect, which tells me that Gronk hasn't told them. You know, we haven't heard that he's retiring. He's under contract. We're expecting him back. Like, I can see them saying that in the conversation.
And, of course, the Patriots aren't going to announce it. What's to announce?
Nothing. No, that's right. He's under contract.
He's under contract. It's not going to be signed, re-signed. He's not going to... There's nothing for the team to announce. Of course they're not going to announce anything.
No, the announcement's going to come from the player. Like, that's how I view it, is that, again, it's that word, expect. Well, then they don't know. They expect because he's under contract and they haven't heard anything to the contrary. This, like, it's like the Doc Rivers thing with the Celtics. They expect him back. The next thing you know, they trade his ass to L.A. because he didn't want to come back. So, like, you know, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over by a long shot. And maybe it is just a negotiating ploy. I don't rule that part of the story out, that some of it is a negotiating ploy. But I don't think he's given him his word that he's coming back yet. What's the first day of the league year? Is it like the 14th?
Yeah, March 14th.
Okay, so you got 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks still. There's no reason for him to say anything definitive yet.
It's not just that. I'm not sure if he's due anything on March 14th. If he's due a roster bonus or something, that would be maybe a marker. But if he's not due anything on the league year, then that date means absolutely nothing.
Okay, but if you're them, don't you want to know by then? In other words, you're going to have to make alternative plans if you don't have Gronk. You better be ready to go at the beginning of the league year.
My prediction is that they won't know. That then Rob loses his leverage, and maybe this is why he won't say anything. He wants to keep the threat out there for the renegotiated contract. Just why declare? You know, make the Patriots come to you to make it worth your while to return and take it all the way to training camp, which is what Greg Bedard in Boston Sports Journal sort of alluded to this morning. I believe it was him. This was really interesting. So this is Bedard in Boston Sports Journal following up on the Tom Curran stuff from the other night, the great Tom Curran stuff from the other night. And Bedard says, in terms of him considering retirement and all of that, I didn't know it had gotten quite that bad. Boston Sports Journal members from the beginning know that I wrote about Gronkowski's demeanor during camp and wondered what was going on because something didn't seem right. Body language. Malcolm Butler stuff again. Basically, this is what Bedard says, basically what happened was Gronk came out on the very first day of camp and completely dominated, and also was having a blast. At one point, he caught a touchdown right behind Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. Can't you just picture it? There's Bill, and here's Gronkowski. Like, gyrating, you know, to Bill's back. Can't you just see that?
Totally.
So, and did an exaggerated touchdown dance, writes Bedard. From that point on, Gronkowski was very muted in camp. The happy-go-lucky Gronk was rarely to be found, and he had some issues in practice. He was even ragdolled a few times, blocking. Bedard writes that I wasn't sure what to make of it. I guessed Belichick likely told him to knock off the dancing in practice, which is his right. But did that happen to tick off Gronk, who had worked his butt off to get healthy and back on the field? No clue. Bedard writes, were the other players ticked off as well? Was this the start of an undercurrent of friction that went on behind the scenes all season? Was Alex Guerrero's status a part of this? Is this part of the reason why the Patriots training camp seemed less fruitful for them than usual?
Good point, because they had a bad preseason.
Bedard writes, I don't know. And I'm not sure I care all that much, except when it comes to Gronkowski's future. I mean, the Patriots still had the ball and chance to win the Super Bowl when all was said and done last year. Nothing goes perfectly with teams behind the scenes. Coaches make decisions on the fly that sometimes work and sometimes don't. You just hope you don't do permanent damage. And you live and learn for next season. Belichick always does. As far as Gronkowski's future, I'll stick with what I said yesterday. He might apply some pressure to the team from time to time this offseason, but I think this will go down to the wire at the start of training camp. Yes, you should take this seriously, but this is about money first and foremost. And no, writes Bedard, a trade would not shock me. Once you make Belichick start contemplating life without you, at some point, he usually warms to the idea of being without you, especially if you have value elsewhere. So, a couple things. On Gronkowski and trading him, I don't think it's Bill's call. I think this has gone right back upstairs to Kraft. If Belichick wanted to trade Rob Gronkowski right now, he would not be able to, just like he was not able to trade Tom Brady. My opinion. Opinion only.
Okay, but why would the owner jump in on Gronk? Oh, because of Brady. Because of Brady.
The whole thing. They're all in on the current core, and Robert Kraft is not going to let Rob Gronkowski walk out the door any sooner than he'd let Tom Brady walk out the door, especially after he kept Tom.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more out of keeping Brady happy than anything, but that would be my 2 cents, but keep going.
Probably, but just in general. If Belichick wanted to trade Gronkowski, do you think Kraft would let him?
Probably not, no.
Just because of Brady, no.
I don't think so. Whether it's because of Brady or the whole, we're all in with this group, Bill, this is what we're doing. I don't think Bill would be allowed to trade Gronkowski even if he wanted to.
And I still think that would leave the door open for Bill walking between now and training camp, if that's the case.
You know what? I'm with Murray on that.
I am. I think Bill's accepting it. I think Bill's swallowing it.
How much crap can you eat?
His kids work there. We want to protect his kids a little bit, and I just think that...
For a year.
I mean, look, if you want to tell me that the whole thing has precipitated his departure, yes. Would he have given you 5 years if Garoppolo were still here and he could take Garoppolo into the next era, and now he'll give you one?
Likely.
Because he's sick of this stuff? Yes. Okay, but I don't think he's walking away this week. I've always felt he's back next year. Will he leave sooner than he normally would have? Yes, I'm with you. But again, when Bedard writes, as far as Gronkowski's future, I'll stick with what I said. He might apply some pressure to the team from time to time this offseason, but I think this will go down to the wire at the start of training camp. That's why I said that, because you said the league year starts the 14th. They need to know. If I'm Gronkowski, I hold it over their heads all offseason. Absolutely.
Well, then if you're the team, you can't let him have the leverage. You got to go out and mitigate the damage. If he walks, you got to go out and get, you know, I don't want to say replacements because you can't replace Gronk, but you got to have a plan B.
They've been planning Gronkowski for 5 years, whether it was Scott Chandler, Martellus Bennett, Dwayne Allen, you name it. Haven't they almost pretty much without fail the last 3-4 years gone out and gotten a real tight end in the offseason?
See, I never looked at guys like Chandler that way. And Bennett to a degree was to me an injury mitigation more than it was, but I'm talking about now walking. Like, walking. With the Chandler thing, I looked at it more as we got to get a second tight end who can catch passes because it'll make us better in the red zone and get us a little bit more, or a little bit closer to what Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were. Like, you know, when they had that two tight end, not that Hernandez was a true tight end, but that sort of thing. And now I feel like it's totally different. Now I feel almost like they have to go get two tight ends.
Again, it's just a small little detail, and I know people are going to make a, you know, Felger, you're making a big deal of something stupid. So fine, I don't care if you feel that way. I'm interested in it, just like Rick Nash didn't carry his bags. Greg Bedard writes, I love this detail. First day of training camp. Basically what happened is Gronk came out on the first day and completely dominated and also was having a blast. At one point, he caught a touchdown right behind Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. Hey, Ken, what do you think that was?
Shake that ass, Mike.
No, what happened is Brandon Cooks jumped on his back and started riding him like a horse.
Like, come on, Bill. What do you make of that, Bill? You know?
I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it. I was told I can't, so I don't know what to do.
So day one, he's just gyrating behind Bill. From that point on, writes Bedard, Gronkowski was very muted in camp. Muted in camp. Sorry.
Jeez.
The happy-go-lucky Gronk was rarely to be found, and he had some issues in practice. He was even ragdolled a few times during blocking drills.
He was mooted.
So, just a little detail that I like that gives more color to this situation. So we will continue with your thoughts on that. A couple open lines. 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Right now, I have not talked to one person who believes Rob Gronkowski will retire. The expectation is he's back in a Patriots uniform in 2018.
All right, folks, 617-779-0985. Phone lines open. Your thoughts on that report, Maz?
I don't. I'm not putting 100% stock in it, I'll tell you that. Do I think that Rappaport talked to someone? Yeah. But the last time I heard from Gronk, he said he was considering retirement, and we haven't really heard Gronk say no to that yet, or shoot it down yet, or say that, no, I'm back, I'm definitely back. And until I hear that, I'm not going to buy in. To me, the word that gets me in this is expected.
Yeah. Expectation is.
The expectation is that, so the expectation for who?
The Patriots.
Of course. Yes, of course. Like, it's not Gronk's expectation. Gronk would say yes or no. So it's coming from the team side, which suggests to me that they are, you know, all they're saying is, well, we haven't heard that he's retiring, so we're expecting him back. That's it.
And for me,
that's where it is.
You know, no disrespect to Ian Rappaport, unless it's from someone like Adam Schefter or Tom Curran, someone who's really close with the team, I'm taking this with a grain of salt.
See, Rappaport is the team source. Like, I don't need it from the team side. For Maz's point, I need it from Gronkowski's side. You know who I'd pay attention to is Mike Florio. Mike Florio has long been a really close media friend of Drew Rosenhaus. In fact, some people think that Rosenhaus was an early investor in
Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, when it used to be NFL Talk or whatever it was. Like, they go way back. So if Florio's got something on Gronk, I pay attention to Florio. Schefter, I don't know. Is he close to the player? I don't know. Rappaport, to me, feels like he's, you know, a management team. He works for the freaking league, for God's sakes. So I feel like that's where he gets the balance of his stuff. So I think that it's accurate to say the team expects Gronkowski to come back. I think I take that from his report. What does that mean? You know, the team expects a lot of things. It doesn't get what they expect. And is Rob Gronkowski exactly played by the team's rules here in the last couple of years?
No. And to me, again, it's that word, expect, which tells me that Gronk hasn't told them. You know, we haven't heard that he's retiring. He's under contract. We're expecting him back. Like, I can see them saying that in the conversation.
And, of course, the Patriots aren't going to announce it. What's to announce?
Nothing. No, that's right. He's under contract.
He's under contract. It's not going to be signed, re-signed. He's not going to... There's nothing for the team to announce. Of course they're not going to announce anything.
No, the announcement's going to come from the player. Like, that's how I view it, is that, again, it's that word, expect. Well, then they don't know. They expect because he's under contract and they haven't heard anything to the contrary. It's like the Doc Rivers thing with the Celtics. They expect him back. The next thing you know, they trade his ass to L.A. because he didn't want to come back. So, like, you know, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over by a long shot. And maybe it is just a negotiating ploy. I don't rule that part of the story out, that some of it is a negotiating ploy. But I don't think he's given him his word that he's coming back yet. What's the first day of the league year? Is it like the 14th?
Yeah, March 14th.
Okay, so you got 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks still. There's no reason for him to say anything definitive yet.
It's not just that. I'm not sure if he's due anything on March 14th. If he's due a roster bonus or something, that would be maybe a marker. But if he's not due anything on the league year, then that date means absolutely nothing.
Okay, but if you're them, don't you want to know by then? In other words, you're going to have to make alternative plans if you don't have Gronk. You better be ready to go at the beginning of the league year.
My prediction is that they won't know. That then Rob loses his leverage, and maybe this is why he won't say anything. He wants to keep the threat out there for the renegotiated contract. Just why declare? You know, make the Patriots come to you to make it worth your while to return and take it all the way to training camp, which is what Greg Bedard in Boston Sports Journal sort of alluded to this morning. I believe it was him. This was really interesting. So this is Bedard in Boston Sports Journal following up on the Tom Curran stuff from the other night, the great Tom Curran stuff from the other night. And Bedard says, in terms of him considering retirement and all of that, I didn't know it had gotten quite that bad. Boston Sports Journal members from the beginning know that I wrote about Gronkowski's demeanor during camp and wondered what was going on because something didn't seem right. Body language. Malcolm Butler stuff again. Basically, this is what Bedard says, basically what happened was Gronk came out on the very first day of camp and completely dominated and also was having a blast. At one point, he caught a touchdown right behind Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. Can't you just picture it? There's Bill, and here's Gronkowski. Like, gyrating, you know, to Bill's back. Can't you just see that?
Totally.
So, and did an exaggerated touchdown dance, writes Bedard. From that point on, Gronkowski was very muted in camp. The happy-go-lucky Gronk was rarely to be found, and he had some issues in practice. He was even ragdolled a few times, blocking. Bedard writes that I wasn't sure what to make of it. I guessed Belichick likely told him to knock off the dancing in practice, which is his right. But did that happen to tick off Gronk, who had worked his butt off to get healthy and back on the field? No clue. Bedard writes, were the other players ticked off as well? Was this the start of an undercurrent of friction that went on behind the scenes all season? Was Alex Guerrero's status a part of this? Is this part of the reason why the Patriots training camp seemed less fruitful for them than usual?
Good point, because they had a bad preseason.
Bedard writes, I don't know. And I'm not sure I care all that much, except when it comes to Gronkowski's future. I mean, the Patriots still had the ball and chance to win the Super Bowl when all was said and done last year. Nothing goes perfectly with teams behind the scenes. Coaches make decisions on the fly that sometimes work and sometimes don't. You just hope you don't do permanent damage. And you live and learn for next season. Belichick always does. As far as Gronkowski's future, I'll stick with what I said yesterday. He might apply some pressure to the team from time to time this offseason, but I think this will go down to the wire at the start of training camp. Yes, you should take this seriously, but this is about money first and foremost. And no, writes Bedard, a trade would not shock me. Once you make Belichick start contemplating life without you, at some point, he usually warms to the idea of being without you, especially if you have value elsewhere. So, a couple things. On Gronkowski and trading him, I don't think it's Bill's call. I think this has gone right back upstairs to Kraft. If Belichick wanted to trade Rob Gronkowski right now, he would not be able to, just like he was not able to trade Tom Brady. My opinion. Opinion only.
Okay, but why would the owner jump in on Gronk? Oh, because of Brady. Because of Brady.
The whole thing. They're all in on the current core, and Robert Kraft is not going to let Rob Gronkowski walk out the door any sooner than he'd let Tom Brady walk out the door, especially after he kept Tom.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more out of keeping Brady happy than anything, but that would be my 2 cents, but keep going.
Probably, but just in general. If Belichick wanted to trade Gronkowski, do you think Kraft would let him?
Probably not, no.
Just because of Brady, no.
I don't think so. Whether it's because of Brady or the whole, we're all in with this group, Bill, this is what we're doing. I don't think Bill would be allowed to trade Gronkowski even if he wanted to.
And I still think that would leave the door open for Bill walking between now and training camp if that's the case.
You know what? I'm with Murray on that.
I am. I think Bill's accepting it. I think Bill's swallowing it.
How much crap can you eat?
His kids work there. We want to protect his kids a little bit, and I just think that...
For a year.
I mean, look, if you want to tell me that the whole thing has precipitated his departure, yes. Would he have given you 5 years if Garoppolo were still here and he could take Garoppolo into the next era, and now he'll give you one?
Likely.
Because he's sick of this stuff? Yes. Okay, but I don't think he's walking away this week. I've always felt he's back next year. Will he leave sooner than he normally would have? Yes, I'm with you. But again, when Bedard writes, as far as Gronkowski's future, I'll stick with what I said. He might apply some pressure to the team from time to time this offseason, but I think this will go down to the wire at the start of training camp. That's why I said that, because you said the league year starts the 14th. They need to know. If I'm Gronkowski, I hold it over their heads all offseason. Absolutely.
Well, then if you're the team, you can't, you know, you can't let him have the leverage. You got to go out and mitigate the damage. If he walks, you got to go out and get, you know, I don't want to say replacements because you can't replace Gronk, but you got to have a plan B.
They have been planning B. They've been B planning Gronkowski for 5 years. Whether it was Scott Chandler, Martellus Bennett, Dwayne Allen, you name it. Haven't they almost pretty much without fail the last 3-4 years gone out and gotten a real tight end in the offseason?
See, I never looked at guys like Chandler that way. And even Bennett to a degree was to me an injury mitigation more than it was. But I'm talking about now walking. Like walking. With the Chandler thing, I looked at it more as we got to get a second tight end who can catch passes because it'll make us better in the red zone and get us a little bit more or a little bit closer to what Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were. Like, you know, when they had that two tight end, not that Hernandez was a true tight end, but that sort of thing. And now I feel like it's totally different. Now I feel almost like they have to go get two tight ends.
Again, it's just a small little detail, and I know people are going to make a, you know, Felger, you're making a big deal of something stupid. So fine, I don't care if you feel that way. I'm interested in it, just like Rick Nash didn't carry his bags. Greg Bedard writes, I love this detail. First day of training camp, basically what happened is Gronk came out on the first day and completely dominated and also was having a blast. At one point, he caught a touchdown right behind Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. Hey, Kim, what do you think that was?
Shake that ass, Mike.
No, what happened is Brandon Cooks jumped on his back and started riding him like a horse.
Like, come on, Bill. What do you make of that, Bill? You know?
I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it. I was told I can't, so I don't know what to do.
So day one, he's just gyrating behind Bill. From that point on, writes Bedard, Gronkowski was very muted in camp. Muted in camp. Sorry.
Jeez.
The happy-go-lucky Gronk was rarely to be found, and he had some issues in practice. He was even ragdolled a few times during blocking drills.
He was muted.
So just a little detail that I like that gives more color to the situation. So we will continue with your thoughts on that. A couple open lines. 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports fans, this is the world champion handicapper Jeff Allen from Las Vegas. Wednesday night report against the spread. The first 7 weeks this year, 44-8. I'm red hot, 84% winners in the NBA. Golden State at Washington is a monster against the spread. Yours free on a recorded message. Call now. 1-800-244-5506. Late action, Houston, L.A. in college hoops, Mississippi, Kentucky. 1-800-244-5506. I'd love to go 7-0 tonight. Jeff Allen Sports toll-free message. 1-800-244-5506. You call every day, get 7 days of top plays for free. 1-800-244-5506. Golden State, Washington is huge. 7-0. I'd love to go 7-0. Call now. Jeff Allen Sports toll-free message. 1-800-244-5506. Or go to VegasCovers.com. VegasCovers.com.
The games may be over, but the celebration isn't. In honor of our remarkable athletes, Harbor One Bank is offering one remarkable rate. Open a 13-month CD at 2.75% annual percentage yield and name.
This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's one down the sideline. Pass caught by Des Bryant. They're going to mark him inside the one. And a brilliant catch by number 88. That was up for grabs, and Des Bryant went up and grabbed it.
After review, it has been determined that the receiver did not maintain Dallas's fourth down. They will lose the ball on a change of possession on the downs. It will be Green Bay's ball, first and 10 at the 32.5-yard line. Green Bay will be out of challenges through the remainder of the game.
All right, let's get to this. NFL is in the process of rewriting the catch rule. Feels like this is going to go through. They're looking at a bunch of other stuff, including one that I want them to do too, but they won't, which is make pass interference a spot foul, 15-yard max, like they do in college. They're talking about that. They won't do it. This looks like they will do. And as John Mara said, John Mara said that the competition committee was in, well, he says we were unanimous that plays like the Dez Bryant play there in Green Bay, which you just heard, the divisional game in Green Bay in 2015. We were unanimous that plays like the Dez Bryant play in Green Bay going to the ground, the Calvin Johnson play from a couple of years ago. I think all of us agree that those should be completions. So let's write the language to make them completions. However, he says, it's easy to say the rule has got to be changed, but coming up with the right language is a challenge, which is so right. Should those plays be touchdowns?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, Jesse James is another one. That's a perfect example, but keep going.
How would you write the rule?
I don't know. I mean, I would say...
So then what is a catch?
Yeah, look, again, but to me, this is part of the reason you have officials. So if you know, if the idea...
So you really want more judgment, not less? If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck?
I think in some plays, you have to have judgment. You can't avoid it.
How about Bedard's thought?
That 2 feet down.
Catch, 2 feet down. That's it. And whatever happens after that, you've already caught the ball.
Okay, but how long do you have to hold the ball while your feet are on the ground? I mean, just an instant?
Yep. Here's the ball. Here's your feet. Catch. Whatever happens after that happens.
No, see, I don't like that.
Why?
Because then if someone separates you from the ball, it's a fumble.
Correct.
And that's a ton of fumbles. To me, that's an incompletion. So, like,
if that's now a completion, you don't go to the Super Bowl in 2011.
Right, well, right.
Yeah, shouldn't have in the first place.
Right. Right. You're talking about the Lee Evans play.
Yes.
Yeah, so I draw a distinction between a play where a guy has the ball, lunges, and then hits the ground and the ball comes out, and a play where he catches the ball, his 2 feet touch, and then he's separated from it.
So now you want them to put in the football move?
No.
Then what do you want?
No, one's the result of contact from a defender. One is the result of contact with the ground. That there's a difference there.
Well, no. Jesse James was tackled.
No, he wasn't.
Zach Ertz was tackled.
Jesse James wasn't.
When there was a player right there.
He was 2 yards away. The ball came out without anyone touching him.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes. I'm talking about the play.
About Dez Bryant. He was tackled. There's a defender right there.
Okay, but I'm talking about under the way Bedard worded it. Guy jumps up in the air, catches the ball, his feet touch the ground, he gets hit. Literally just touches the ground. He gets hit and the ball comes out.
Yeah.
That's a fumble?
Yes.
No.
Well, like, how do you write it? This is Mara's point.
Okay, I'm telling you.
How do you write it?
Okay, but again, you can't always articulate it in words.
Then write it. You have to.
Okay, then what I would do.
There's no point in having a rule unless the rule said something.
Okay.
What does the rule say?
In the judgment of the umpire or the back judge or whoever
ooh,
it is.
Ooh, you really want that.
Yeah.
Okay, so but
I'm not one of these people that feels like everything has to be written to the letter of the law.
Oh, no, I'm with you, too. I'm just telling you, to have a rule, though, it does have to be written. So just go ahead. Try and write it right here, live on radio. How would you write?
No idea. I'd have to think it out. It would take hours. Seriously, I'm not joking. I mean, if you're asking me to, now we're talking about semantics versus the reality.
Possession 2 feet and a football move, and just take out the survive the ground part?
Yeah.
Okay, but again...
I think that's it. I think it's that simple. The problem is, you know what's going to end up happening here. They're going to end up adding so much minutia and qualifiers. They're still going to botch this. I'm ultimately with Maz. It should be up to the officials on the field. The other thing I would like to see, which will never happen, is when they go to replay, make them watch it in real time. You can't slow it down. Do not slow it down. It's in real time. Does it look like a catch? It's a catch. That's it. It's that simple.
Here's how I feel. I like it the way it is. I do.
The survive the ground thing's ridiculous.
There's no judgment. And what I like the survive the ground thing, you know why? Because I get to laugh at every stupid football player who extends the ball. Dez Bryant. That was a fourth down play. There's 5 minutes left or something like that in the fourth quarter. Dez Bryant does not need to reach for the touchdown. It's first and goal at the one with 5 minutes left and the ball game in your hands. But he's stupid. He doesn't know the rule, which is like, and that's not just him. That's like 75% of the league. He's going for glory and going for the touchdown when all you have to do is maintain possession. You're down at the half-yard line with four downs to win the football game. And I like penalizing those players that continue to do that. Jesse James did not need to reach out for the goal line, did not need to do it. They had all the time in the world. He could have been tackled at the half-yard line. First and goal at the half-yard line, give it to Le'Veon Bell. Ball game.
Okay, so again, you're citing specific plays that have happened. What about if it's a third down play and a guy does that? And he does have to extend for the goal line. What if it's a fourth down play?
Then maintain control of the ball. All these ones, they don't have to do it.
Okay, but again, I could easily conjure up a scenario in which a guy does have to do it. has to reach for the end zone and doesn't get there. Like, so all I'm saying is this, and again, this is, and I don't understand at what point officials all had to be 100%. Like, the way I grew up in sports, if there was a bad call against you, too bad. Too bad.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Well, too bad. Play through it.
It's because of stupid replay. And we're not going to go backwards now because of this, which I wish they would abolish it in all sports. That's never going to happen.
I just think that it's reached the point of absurdity with the intervention of the replay and the tough. Okay, they blew a call. They're human. This is life. Play through it.
Close call. Bang, bang.
Right. Get play through it.
It went against you. Right. That doesn't exist anymore. I know it's ridiculous. I'm with you 100% on that. And I've been ranting about that forever. But now that we're in this environment and now we're in this climate, they do have to write a rule. So you just can't say it's up to the judgment of the officials. There's got to be parameters.
So the way they did it is probably about as close as you're going to get. Take out the survive of the ground part. And then
So possession, 2 feet, football move.
Yeah.
Possession, 2 feet, football move.
Yeah, like in the case of Zach Ertz, they determined that he was a runner, which I happen to agree with.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So, fine. If that, I mean, the football, see, but even then, when you write it the way that way, well, what were we debating in the Super Bowl? Is Ertz a runner yet or not? Is that a football move? Does that qualify?
Close.
Even then, there's a judgment to be made. This is what I'm saying. You can't strip out all judgment. Sooner or later, there's a human being that has to look at it and say, what was that?
And I'll tell you what, Dez Bryant, it's debatable whether that was a pure football move. He caught the ball, 2 feet were down, and then he's falling towards the goal line and extending the ball. So, extending the ball is a football move? What if you're just the momentum of your body has your arms out and it's just that's just where your arms are? Like, this, it's all just nonsense. See, this is why I'm just saying, leave it like it is. Hang on to the ball, idiot. Don't extend the ball. Don't dink around with the football. Basically, for it to be a catch, you have to catch the ball and hand it to the ref. You've got to walk back to the sideline with the ball tucked under your arm.
Okay, but again, go back.
And don't let it move or else it's a not catch. So just hang on to the ball.
Okay, but again, go back to the Ertz play. Okay? Was that a football move?
Yes, 3 steps.
In your estimation?
3 steps, yes.
Okay. In my estimation, it was too. What if they had reversed it? Would you have been shocked?
No, because they've gotten so goofy with the thing.
Okay, but this is my point, is that eventually you are going to reach the point in any of these where someone looks at it and has to make a judgment. Ultimately, it's coming down to someone's judgment based on what is written. And you are never going to write anything that clear.
But the way they have it now, it affords the least amount of judgment. It affords the least amount of judgment.
Well, that's probably true. I think the Jesse James thing should have been a touchdown.
Same here. I wish that it could be.
Jesse James was clearly, the way the rules are written, it was clearly not a touchdown.
The ball moved because of a little bit of the ground.
He didn't survive the ground.
And I want that abolished. Stop with the trying to be so precise and just use common sense. Does it look like a catch? It's a catch. I still don't understand why the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown, which was a touchdown before the half in the last Bills game that the Patriots played towards the end of the season, wasn't a catch. Because his little tippy toe on his left foot didn't hit as he made the catch. That's a catch. It's a catch. Dez Bryant, catch. Calvin Johnson, catch. Zach Ertz, catch. James, catch. They're all catches.
Okay, go write the rule, Murray. Go write the rule. Go write the rule that says that the Calvin Benjamin
use your gut and eyes. There's your rule.
Oh, that's just so
rubber
scary.
Stamp it.
Really?
Yeah.
Use your gut and eyes.
Yeah, gut and eyes.
Brother.
Common sense.
So growing up, if you're younger, you won't know the play that I'm talking about. But I refer to this play all the time. It was Super Bowl 12. It was Dallas, Denver.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Dallas, Denver, Super Bowl 12. It was Butch Johnson was the receiver for the Dallas Cowboys who makes this diving catch. He's parallel to the ground, and it's like if you grow up, I'm in my late 40s, if you're around my age and you watch the highlight replays and the NFL films montages, that play is always mixed in with like a Lynn Swan catch. It's like the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. It's Butch Johnson. He lays out at the three. He has Superman totally horizontal, catches the ball, doesn't get 2 feet down. When he hits the ground in the end zone, the ball comes out and they give it a touchdown. And growing up, that was like considered one of the greatest catches of all time. And if you want, go watch that. Google
it. I'm watching it right now.
Kids, if you know what I'm talking about, Google Butch Johnson Super Bowl 12, Butch Johnson Super Bowl catch. And you tell me if you want that to be a catch. If that's a catch, then please, that's a joke that that's a catch. But it was my entire life growing up. So Murray's thing about if it looks like it, if it smells like it, use your eyes and judgment. Well, that sort of changes too now. Because if that, in someone's judgment, you want that to be a catch?
Yeah, because I've said this before on this show. Reward the exciting play.
Murray, he doesn't catch the ball.
No, he did. Because as soon as he hits the ground, it comes out as he's rolling. That's a good enough catch to me.
No, not he's rolling. He hits the ground, it pops up because he didn't get 2 feet. He didn't get 1 foot down, did he? I don't think he got any feet. He got nothing down. He stretched out, caught the ball, and as he's fallen, when he hits the ground, of course it pops up because he's. That shouldn't be a catch.
He has it into his body as he rolls into the end zone. That's a catch to me.
Really?
Reward the exciting play.
You want that to be a catch now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So you know what? I'm going to watch that play again. All I'm telling you is this. No matter how you write the rule, it's never going to be ironclad. It's never going to be completely airtight, ever.
So here's the problem, Murray.
Out into the body, rolls into the end zone. I tweeted it out for people that want to see
Tweet it.
Tweet it. That's a catch.
That's no catch. That should not be a catch. If that's a catch, then You think to invoke Jones here. You think there's a lot of points now? You think there's too much offense now? Wait till they say, and then you know what's going to happen. So that's just on a touchdown. What if that happens in the field of play? Now that's a fumble, Murray. If you're saying that's a catch, if that happens in the field of play, that's now a fumble.
Fine.
And all these bang-bang plays that Maz is talking about, if it's just 2 feet down possession, you strip it, the ball's out. And now there's the fumbles. There's no Jimmy Hotfingers or Jim McNally or Birdman who can save you now. The fumbles are going to go through the roof if that's the case.
But you know what? You knew they were going to change this.
I leave it the way it is. A long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
A first and goal to go. Snap coming up from the 10. Ben takes the step, backs up, looks to the right with a pump, throws to the end zone, caught by James. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Jeez. The Steelers have gone in front.
I mean, what a play call again. You pump it right. They full well know they're going to throw it to the tight end. It's the oblique middle screen to the tight end. Schuster runs, walls off Daron Harmon, and allows James to clear it.
Tony Corrente.
Previous play. We'll go under review.
He brought it down, but as he dived across the goal line, the ball came out.
This is like the Dez Bryant
Green Bay
Packers.
So they've got to decide whether he made the catch. Watch the ball bobble right there. Both hands are on the football. Did he complete the catch all the way to the ground and through?
After reviewing the play, the receiver in the end zone did not survive the ground. It's an incomplete pass.
This is unbelievable.
It'll be Pittsburgh's ball. Second down and 10 at the 10-yard line. The game clock is correct, and we'll start on the next snap.
See, should that be a catch? I guess. Sure, fine. How do you write it so it's a catch? How do you write the rule? And part of me really likes the fact that he's punished for being loose with the football. Don't... You know the rule, jackass. Or you should by now.
We're going to ignore being loose with the football. That's how you write it. Ignore looseness.
And you want that Butch shots and catch to be a touchdown.
Sure do.
And you pulled all the people out at NBC Sports Boston there, Billy?
I did. They all said it's a catch.
You people have no moral compass.
I'm getting chirped by Wiggy. I'm getting chirped by Bedard. Not a catch. Not a catch. Wiggy, you need to leave the Kush alone. That's not a catch.
See, the Butch Johnson play, I don't
leave the what alone?
Kush. It's a brand of weed.
Uh-huh.
Of course it is.
Is that what you gave me in Minneapolis? Is that what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is good. Murray and Wiggy can connect on a certain level. It speaks to me. The Butch Johnson thing is not a catch to me, but there's a distinction there. Okay, Johnson is diving through the air to catch the ball, hits the turf, and the ball pops out. Jesse James was standing there, sort of slanting toward the ground, caught the ball, then started to go down and reach for the goal line.
Write the difference.
Okay, so what I would say is if in the judgment of the replay official or the official, the player has, you know, has...
Again, Brian is weighing in. You
okay,
people.
Has secured possession and is then deemed to be reaching for the end zone or the first down marker, that is to be considered a football move. That or something of the like if you want the language for it. But to me, like,
so
I look
at... So you want possession, 2 feet, football move. And the act of reaching is a football move.
Yes, I would say that the act of reaching for the end zone should be considered a football move. Yep. That's how I would say it.
Okay. Pretty good. Not bad.
That you know, now again, and by the way, that does not eliminate the Austin Seferian Jenkins play. Okay, which is a whole nother kettle of fish. But in that case, he lost possession as he was going out the side of the end zone, and that's a fumble through the end zone.
Jermaine in East Boston, you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I'd like to. I have to agree with you, Felger. They don't need to touch the rule. The rule, as simple as it could possibly be, survive the ground. It's simple. As a guy that's seen a lot of footballs thrown in his direction, catch the football, hold on to it, survive the ground. And Jim Murray, who tweeted out that video of the guy from Dallas that called that a catch, please leave that high grade alone. There's no way it can. You need to drug test him, Felgo, right now. Take him to the bathroom and test him.
We also want to thank you for the T-shirt. Folks, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, Maz is wearing the Hate Us Because They Jealous Us T-shirt that you knew Wiggy and Wiggy wear and his
Jealous
buddy.
Us.
Yes. Is it Emilio Del Vecchio is your guy?
It's Emilio Del Vecchio, old school. You can just find him on Twitter, you know what I mean? That's what I'm hearing out there. But please, Felger, I normally don't agree with you because you're an absolute guffoon, but I have to agree with you on this one with the catch. Players know and throughout the NFL you have to survive the ground. What happens with the sideline catch? Guy catches it on the sideline, it gets pushed out of bounds, hits the ground, ball comes out. Is that a catch? He can't make a football move because he's doing a toe tap on the sideline.
Agreed.
That is a great rule. Leave it as is. And don't take out the instant replay because these referees are jackasses. Wiggs out.
When Wiggy's rolling around in the snow there in 2001, he's not loose with it. He's not letting the ball. He's not extending the ball out. He's catching the ball and securing it and going to the ground because that ball's precious, man. That catch is precious. You start trying to bite off more than you can chew and start extending yourself and trying to be the hero, then I think there should be a certain risk reward there. I mean, that's what I like. I like Des Bryant coming back, especially Jesse James. Like, you should have kept control. You know the rule. That's an easy touchdown if you just keep control of the ball or don't extend and line up at the half-yard line and give it to Le'Veon Bell on the next play and win the game.
Okay, but what I'm telling you is in the case of Jesse James, was he really going to the ground to make the catch? Like, if I'm the official making that judgment, I would argue that point. He wasn't going to the ground to make the catch. He caught the ball and then went to the ground. That's how I would describe it. Like, so to me, this, again, the semantics of it, listen, I understand what you're saying. You got to have something in black and white. Okay, you've got to have something in black and white. But even then, you're still going to get judgment from the official. That will never get eliminated.
I'm just anti-flash and anti...
You're anti-flash and fun.
I'm anti-flash and fun. I'm more about the solid, fundamental, catch the ball, secure it, go to the ground, make sure you make the catch. I don't care about the guy, dipsy-doo, dunkaroo, stick the ball out, leap in the air. Like, I don't yawn. I don't care. As I say a million times, I don't watch track and field. I don't care about that stuff.
Like, this throw to Butch Johnson, if I was the referee looking at this play, I would be doing a disservice to Roger Staubach and Butch Johnson after this play to not throw up my arms and say touchdown.
It's got to be so much harder than Butch Johnson right there. I mean, you've got to be able to hang on to the ball, Murray.
Stretches out, brings it into the body, rolls in, then it pops out. Oh, the horror that it popped out after he brought it into his body for a half second, but he did.
It can't be a catch.
He didn't have it long enough. To me, that wouldn't be possession.
And I'm telling you, if that's a catch in the middle of the field, you're going to have fumbles all over the place.
Good, fine. For a league that's now taking a ratings hit, reward exciting plays. Turn a blind eye to this nonsense.
Well, hold on. The key to the ratings decline is more fumbles?
No, more fun. And more fumbles could be more fun.
But you knew they were going to go
balls
this way.
Balls flying all over the place, guys diving at it.
Because anytime there's a gray area in that league and they got to pick more offense or less, like more touchdowns at the goal line or less, they're going to give you the touchdown.
Believe me.
So that's what they're doing here. What is really amazing when you think about it is that in the Super Bowl, they didn't adhere to their own rule.
Well, they, right.
On the Corey Clement play, there's no way that was a touchdown under the way the rule is written.
It's like they were changing it in real time.
So Murray, I hear you. To me, that should have been a touchdown, too. It was good enough. But the way they were calling it up until, like in the Super Bowl, they changed. They changed.
Yes, because Goodell said the week before that we're going to look at the catch rule. And Alberto Riveron said, oh, we're changing the catch rule? I'll do it now. That's what happened there. So we've talked about this. We're talking about Gronkowski. Again, a breaking report today from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network on Rob Gronkowski's future in New England. You'll hear that report right here in Murray's Update. There are no commercials. We come back and react to it with you.